Well, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. How are we? It was the night before I was leaving for a conference. I had worked for months getting ready for this conference, as women do. Got my registration paid, had my travel taken care of, had made arrangements for my husband to take me to the airport the next morning, had everything ready to go. Well, it was the night before we were leaving, and we had that conversation that probably happens at your house. Where do you want to go for dinner? I don't know. Where do you want to go? How about Chinese? No. I had that for lunch. Okay. Let's go somewhere different. Let's go to that new Italian restaurant. No, I don't really like Italian that much, and not that restaurant. Okay. So where do you want to go? Wherever you decide will be fine. Well, in our house, the conversation that immediately follows that one is, who's driving? Well, on this particular night, my husband said, you need to drive, my car's out of gas. Okay, so we got in my car, left for dinner, had a great dinner, came home. At 6:05 the next morning, I come strolling into the living room, proud because I'm 10 minutes early. I've got to be at the airport at 6:30. Well, I'm so excited because 10 minutes is like the whole world in the morning, is it not? My husband turns to me and says, we're going to be late. What? Why are we going to be late? I've got 10 extra minutes. No, we have to stop for gas. When were you going to tell me we needed to stop for gas? I would have allowed extra time for that. I told you that we had to stop for gas. No, you didn't. So we go and get in the car quietly. Slam, slam. And it was very quiet on the way to the gas station. And then I finally asked him, when did you tell me that we were going to have to stop for gas this morning? I told you last night when we went to dinner. What I got was an encrypted message from that one tiny mention that his car was out of gas. We needed to take mine to dinner. I was supposed to deduce that we were going to have to stop for gas this morning. And that we were going to have to leave 10 minutes early. And on top of that, I found out for the first time that morning he didn't want to drive my car because you were probably thinking, we'll just take my car, right? Because it's got gas in it. No, he doesn't like to drive my car. I found that out for the first time this morning too. We are not lucky enough to give birth to, work for, or marry someone else that communicates the same way that we do. God puts those people in our life to develop our character. So I want to give you some tools today to sort of navigate those encrypted messages and to be more effective when you communicate via the conversations that you have. Now, I'm a big fan of networking. How many of you think networking is like the funnest thing you've ever done? Crowd goes wild. I recommend to people that they network a lot, and I commonly will get pushback. When I drill down to find out why I'm really encountering so much pushback from them, I find out that they are reluctant to approach people that they don't know and create conversation with them. They're afraid of saying the wrong thing. And we absolutely have to network. And here's why it's so important. Anybody looked for a job in the last 2 years? Yeah. You know, 80% of jobs today are filled by networking. Either you found it, somebody found you. It's important, but here is some proof. Fred Luthens, who is a management professor who specializes in organizational behavior, led a study involving 450 managers. Now, those managers were engaged in four basic behaviors: traditional management, communication, human resource management, and networking. He divided that group into three categories: average managers. The second category was effective managers, which he defined in terms of quality and quantity of their performance and satisfaction and commitment of their employees. And then successful managers, which he defined in terms of speed of promotion within the organization. The findings challenged the traditional notion of promotion based on performance. It proved the importance that social and political skills play in getting ahead in the organization, because among successful managers, networking made the largest contribution to their success. Anybody work with some people like that? Good networkers, they're doing well in the organization. Hopefully some of us are tagging along on their coattails. as they bring us along behind, right? That would be our hope. So networking is important, but it's not just important to our managers. You can take that same study and apply it to any profession out there, even people who are involved in political life, because relationships matter. Relationships are uncomfortable to start, right? But you have to start somewhere. What is it about walking into a room full of people that you just met and feeling like you're in junior high all over again on the first day of school? Remember how that was? All the self-talk that's going on in our head? Oh, why isn't anybody wearing the same shoes I've got on? And I hope I got the right stuff. But, you know, I couldn't get exactly everything that was exactly like they said on the book supply list. I had to get these folders that have Brad's, and I was supposed to get the folders without Brad's. I hope that'll be okay. And where do I get my schedule? I don't even know where the rooms are. How am I going to find my rooms? And why are these people standing around laughing and having a great time? I haven't seen one person I know from my old school. We think that everybody else grew out of that, except for us. I want to tell you something extremely powerful. So the next time you walk into a group of new people, that you'll feel more comfortable. You are the only one who thinks you're a goober. Everyone else is walking around with the same questions in their mind. I hope I brought the right stuff. I hope I wore the right things. I hope this room isn't too cold. It's really important to us to know. So what happens next is that when you're armed with some questions that you can ask, then you can go up and create that conversation with somebody and save their life. When I suggest that you make meaningful conversation, what I'm really suggesting is that you take responsibility for leading that conversation. And that is asking a series of open-ended questions. Those questions that can't simply be answered with yes or no, that create the kind of answers that you can bounce another question against so that you create the threads of conversation. The nice thing about being able to ask these questions is that it puts the other person at ease. They're not worried about what they're going to say next. And they can just answer your questions. You're also honoring them by putting them at the center of the conversation. And they're more likely to remember you because you made them feel so honored and so at ease. Now, having some questions to ask that you know really benefit you because you're not worried about what you're going to say next. You know you're going to say this when somebody answers this and it's time to move on. And so you're not worried. You can focus completely on what they're saying, because how many times do we meet somebody and we can't remember 30 seconds later what their name is? I submit to you that if you can't remember somebody's name, you haven't had enough meaningful conversation with them. Have a little meaningful conversation and it cements them in your brain. Now, the really beautiful thing about making these conversations is you have a reason to follow up. You get to find out about who's in their network. Maybe they have a need that you can help them with. Maybe they are working for a company that maybe you'd like to move to at some point. But the nice thing about having something to have conversation with the next time is that relationships are forged over a series of conversations. Just because we have a conversation one time does not mean that I'm going to remember you. It doesn't mean that we're going to find a connection in any way. It just means we know each other about this deep. Business relationships are forged over that series of meaningful conversations. You have a template that I handed you, a business card size template. It says lead meaningful conversation. I want to demonstrate that, but let's talk about it for just a second. The questions are divided up into three areas. The first questions allow you to find out about who that person is and their role. You'll find these questions work with anybody in any walk of life. You may have to change the words you use a little bit, but they're great starter questions. These are also great questions with somebody that you've met before. Maybe you schlep into the same office every single day and you know them about this deep. You talk about the weather and what was on TV last night, but you really don't know them. The second set of questions are to get to know their company. Most of us are professionally employed, right? Work for ourselves. Maybe everybody in here work for a company? Have some self-employed people? Maybe? When we get to know something about their company, it gives us something to talk about. We might be interested in what their company does. If you're talking to somebody inside your own company, ask them about what their department does. That's interesting, too. You never know when you want to make a switch. You might find somebody that you know that works with them, and that sort of gives you a little connection. Oh, do you know so-and-so? So that can be really, really helpful. The last question allows you to get to know them personally. Now, we might think it's taboo to ask people so many personal questions, but we connect with people based on how well we know them. That's what helps us remember them. They become friends. When we're talking about referring somebody, we want to have a good connection with people so that they feel like helping us out when we need help. You never know when you're going to need to rely on somebody else to give you a boost or a connection. Gives you a chance to see who's in their network as well. Now, I like to ask, are you involved in any charities? We happen to live in a part of the state where half the state's nonprofits are. So there's plenty of charity involvement activities. There's plenty of opportunities for you to be able to get connected with charity activities within your company. And so when I ask questions like that, it helps me understand what's important to them so we can make some conversation about that, and maybe I can follow up later. But it also tells me who's in their network a little bit too. For instance, if they serve on a board for a nonprofit, I can go to that nonprofit and find out who else serves on that board, because most nonprofits today have a website. They list their board members. They may list committees if they are large enough one where they might have subcommittees. So I can kind of see who that person is connected to. Perhaps they know somebody that after they trust me enough, they would be willing to connect me to. Now, a good networking conversation lasts about 6 to 7 minutes. You'll find it lulls, and normally it will turn around to you. And if it doesn't, it's okay, because it's not about one conversation. It's about creating the foundation to create conversations later with that person. Because that person may never be one of those people that initiates the conversation, but they're more than willing to engage in that conversation with you, and they are so thankful to allow you to lead that conversation. Now, I would like to demo this. Who would like to volunteer? All you have to do is follow me. You'll know. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you come up? All righty. So you just follow me, okay? Hi, my name's Carrie.
Hi, I'm Shalay.
What do you do?
I'm an assistant administrative assistant.
Where at? Are you from this area?
No, I'm from Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. So how long have you been with your company?
Almost 11 years.
Almost 11 years. Very good. What did you do before that?
I was in real estate.
Excellent. So what made you get out of real estate?
So many reasons.
Really?
it just wasn't for me.
Just wasn't for you. Well, and I can totally understand. So what's the best thing about being an administrative assistant where you're at now?
The people, and it's kind of my niche. It's what I do best. Mm-hmm. I'm a behind-the-scenes kind of gal.
Really? So do you support one person, the office?
I have 90 people on my floor that I take care of.
90 people. How do you manage that?
Some days better than others.
Can anybody relate to that? Very good. Well, excellent. So are you from the Oklahoma City area originally?
Yes.
Excellent. So you have family there?
Yes, I do.
Wow. Kids?
No.
No. So husband, spouse?
Husband.
Excellent. Two cats. Fur children.
Yes.
So what do you do in your free time?
Reading, computer, stuff like that.
Excellent. You like Facebook?
No.
Not on Facebook. Not at all.
Facebook, I just
not that. Just not that into it. Okay. Well, very good. So, what else do you do for fun?
I can't think of stuff off the top of my head. I do like cross stitching and crafts with paper crafts and crafting.
Oh, neat. Paper craft, like scrapbooking,
scrapbooking, cards, making cards.
Uh huh. Like excellent. So, how long have you been doing that? Wow, that's a long time. What's the coolest project you ever worked on?
I'd have to say some of the gift mini scrapbooks that I've made for people to give
them
are the things I'm most proud of.
That's really neat. Well, excellent. So, well, it was so nice to meet you. Do you have a card just in case I meet somebody who needs to know you?
Sure.
You never know. So, okay. Well, very good. So, well, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
All right. Thank you for playing along.
Okay.
So give her a hand. How many of you know Shelley? Did you learn some stuff about her you didn't know?
No.
Anybody else learn some stuff about her? Okay. Is there some stuff that you think you can have a conversation with her about if you happen to end up at her table tomorrow? Yeah, hello. That's a great door opener. Now, one way that I might use that if I wanted to follow up with her later is if I saw this great article on scrapbooking, I might forward that to you and email it to you. Hey, I saw this. I thought you might like it. It's a great way to create top of mind awareness. Now, I'm in sales, so it's really important that I create relationships and follow up. But every one of you at some point are in sales. I mean, even if it's getting that six-month-old baby to eat that bottle of green goop, you are in sales. So it's important to think about that. You're the chief marketing officer for you. When you're starting to think about how do I promote myself if I need to, because every one of us is going to have to promote ourselves at some point, even a job interview, or maybe you want to go back to school and you go before a board to discuss why you want to go back for that graduate program or that undergraduate program, or be in maybe political office. There's no reason why anyone in this room couldn't be involved in political office. So anyway, just think about that. But you can see the value of you know, just having that conversation, getting some information. I know a lot more about her than I did when she first came up here. So what kind of questions could you ask? If you were in that kind of situation, what kind of questions do you think would be good to ask that you'd like to know? Outside, what kind of outside activities? That's a good one. What else? Yeah, charity information is kind of interesting. You can have a good long conversation about that. Tell me why that you chose that charity. Where's your passion? What is it that you like to do? What's the best thing about getting involved with that charity? What else? Any other questions? Tell me about your family. People are sometimes a little bit hesitant to ask about family, and I'll tell you one thing you have to be a little bit careful about. Know your questions and feel comfortable with them well enough, because you could stumble upon a piece of information, because it's this other person, they're really nervous, they're maybe talking to you for the first time, they're a little keyed up, they're not necessarily paying attention, being as reserved as they normally would, and you might ask them about family, you know, do you have children? You might stumble across a piece of information that they just lost their infant child to SIDS, and you might not feel comfortable knowing that. You might not feel comfortable knowing the person that you just were talking to has a life partner instead of a spouse. And so you want to be a little bit careful that you're able to read that conversation. So if they're giving you some pushback a little bit, you can sort of adjust to that and not ask a question that makes them feel awkward, because it's not about you. It really is about making them feel most comfortable. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, on your chair, you got a job searcher 60-second commercial template. You may not be a job searcher today, but I tell you, there's some important reasons to fill that template out tonight. It gives you a chance to have something to say when somebody asks you, what do you do? And it's not about creating 60 seconds worth of words to pelt somebody with. It is about being able to give them enough information to intrigue them enough to ask, really, tell me more. So you're giving it to them in little bite-sized chunks. But the reason that you want 1 to 2 minutes of prepared content is so that you can reel it off no matter how nervous you are. Because you never know when that you're going to meet your next employer, your next best friend. You got to know why it is you're passionate about what you do. One of the things that's so telling about going through this template, regardless of what area of your life you are in right now, is that if you can't answer that part about what are you passionate about, maybe it's time for a job change. Because that's a great way to be promoted to job searcher, if you aren't passionate and relevant about what you're doing right now. And if you are passionate about it, it's really exciting when you really start to crystallize that you are passionate about what you do for a living today. This is why I do it. This is why I get up in the morning. It makes you feel differently. It starts to change how you think about yourself and the role that you play in your company. The The time to build your network is before you need it. I've worked with job searchers a lot over the last couple of years, and I can tell you that I tell them that, and it is preaching to the choir. It's really hard to go back and do that. You want to build your network before you need it. And a network isn't just about the job search. You need to connect with other people who may have access to vendors that will cut your time in searching for that new copier technician or that new copier company. You know, when your copier breathes its last bit of life, you want to be sure that you are able to, you know, go quickly and get that replaced, because people in your office are counting on you, are they not? Are they going to be really unhappy if they have to walk extra far to go to the copier? People are funny like that. But it's going to position you as a person of influence. How many of you feel influential? Do you know that each one of you are? Your network can make such a difference in how people view you. You become the go-to person for all kinds of information. They trust your opinion, especially if you've done your homework on the people that you refer. If you every single time give them a name of a great vendor who's going to be perfect for them, they're going to come back and go, wow, you really knew what you were talking about. You got a great dentist, you know, or a hairdresser or anything else. So they start to really trust you. And it is about building trust in a relationship. Let's talk about resources, though, for building your network. Inside, you go into a building every single day. That community that you, that group of people that you work with is your community inside. You may be active in the community outside doing volunteer work. Hopefully you are. Because in the event that your inside community ever goes away, you want to be able to have that balanced. Salespeople and vendors are a great place to build your network. Now, how many of us really get super excited about talking to salespeople? Let me tell you why you need to. Suppose, for instance, that salesperson calls on people just like you in other companies. And that salesperson happens to find out that there's an opening because that person that he always calls on in that company is getting transferred. And they need to fill that position. It's not posted in the newspaper. And because you have a relationship with him and he's been talking to you and he thinks that you would make him look good because he'd like to refer you, he may tell you about that job and say, hey, I gave him your name and phone number. Is it okay if I do that? Well, what's so exciting about that is you've got to find out about it before the other 800 people that are qualified for that job, who are active job searchers, applied for it. Now, would that be beneficial? All right, so I created the urgency to have a connection with salespeople and vendors, right? All right, here's how to structure that relationship so that you're in charge. Again, we're in charge of that conversation. You're going to structure it by telling them up front, you know, I don't have a need for your product or service right now, but I'd like to connect with you and, you know, let's sit down, have a meeting, have coffee, talk over lunch, and tell me more about your company, because I know a lot of people that are just like me and I might be able to refer you. So let's get to know each other. Well, that conversation is going to go two ways, especially if you have already set it up as you being in charge of it, right? Because that's the whole point. Be in charge of leading that conversation, and it will go where you need it to go. Next, if your company has a gratuity policy, how many of you do? Okay. If your company has a gratuity policy, this is a great opportunity to let them know, especially if you're meeting for coffee or lunch, to tell them, we have a gratuity policy, and I just wanted you to know that up front, because I'll have to pick up my lunch or coffee, okay? That you've already communicated that. There's no more awkward moments where they, because salespeople are instructed by their company to pick up those expenses. They have a budget for that. It is an expectation. Especially if this is, if they're not as familiar with your company, you need to educate them. Well, you're in the driver's seat again. So you're not going to have any of those awkward conversations where they send you a gift or anything after the conversation. They understand that. During that conversation, you can ask them a lot of questions. Go through that meaningful conversation template. Get to know them personally. You want to find out the culture of their company. Are they going to give you great service? You get a chance to talk about how long they've been with their company. Are you dealing with them forever, or are you going to get a customer service representative? You want to be sure before you do business with a company that you have a chance to connect with them and find out really what they're made of, because in a heated decision where something is broken and you've got to get it replaced and you've opened up the yellow pages, you want to make sure that you are able to make a decision quickly. And it's a lot easier if you've had a conversation with your vendors, right? Now, close down that conversation just like you own it, just like you started it. Thank you for meeting with me today. I had a great conversation. I got to know you better. I think you got to know me better. It'll really help me out if somebody I know has a need for your product or service. So I'll be glad, you know, do check in with me every, you know, 3 or 4 months. I'd love to hear from you. We can catch up, sit down for coffee again or something. Then what you've done by doing that is give them a time frame. So they're not calling you every 30, 60, 90 days and going, hey, you ready to do business with me yet? You have created the expectation in their mind. Now, the truth is, you may be their target client. You may have a need for their product or service, but it sort of takes the heat off. They give you a thing you could use. Anybody willing to do that? You see the urgency in that. Don't wait, seriously. When you get a salesperson on the phone, don't get off the phone as quickly as possible. Ask them, when can we meet? I don't think I have a need for your product or service now, but let's go ahead and chat, because I might know somebody that will in the future. Right? All right, we feel good about that? So networking isn't just a place or event, right? It's an activity. It's a high-value activity. By going out there and being conscious and turning every opportunity into a networking event, nobody needs a formal event. You can have parties and gatherings at your house. You can go to the ballpark and have conversations with people on that are watching the games. But keep in mind, whatever you do, with the intention of networking in mind, show up early. The first 20% of any event, whether it's a formal networking event or not, is called the networking gold zone. The first 20% of any event. It's the first day of a 5-day conference. For a lunch meeting, it's the first 20 or 25 minutes. It's that time when people are showing up that may not have already settled in at their table, settled in talking with people they already know. It's the easiest time to go up and meet a stranger. And they're usually those people that are standing alone. They might be those people that are standing against the wall with a little frown on their face, clutching a sweaty beverage. You can tell. Go up and save their life. Go up with your meaningful conversation template and get that party started. All right. There's some things you need to know about communication and conversation. Dr. Albert Mehrabian in the early 70s conducted a landmark communication study. He found that the message that is conveyed to our listener, 7% of that message is conveyed through words. 38% is conveyed through tone of voice. But a whopping 55% of our communication meaning is conveyed through body language and facial expressions. Now, there's a couple of factors that you should keep in mind with the study. The first is it was done with people who were intimately familiar with each other. Friends, family members, people that know when you say yes, you really meant no. It was also done in a time that didn't take into account today's communication tools. Think about it. We've got voicemail, we've got email, we've got texting, we've got microblogging. With voicemail, all you've got are words and tone of voice. With email, all you've got are words. Oh my gosh, with texting, all you've got are parts of words. The words you choose are important. But the challenge that I want to throw down to you is to take the 10-10 challenge. And that is to schedule 2 10-minute conversations each day, one at work and one in the evening with somebody that you know, somebody that you live with, somebody that you volunteer with. Do this for 10 days, and it will change your life. It will expand your network and deepen your relationships and truly add more quality of life to what you already enjoy. So who do you talk to? Well, I bet you have people that are just like you within your organization, right? that you probably don't know all that well. What a great opportunity to sit down and just have some conversation. Go through that template. Just sit down and really get to know their what it is that they do with their job. There are people in other departments that you can talk to. You might be wanting to look at some career pathing, some other career opportunities, and maybe you want to go talk to somebody in that department. Schedule time. Have an idea of what you want to do, and then write down some questions before you get there so that you really have your agenda set. And if they are busy people, they may say, well, why do you want to meet? Well, because I want to get to know you better. I want to get to know your needs a little bit better so I can serve you better. Another great opportunity is to have that conversation with your kids. How many of you have children at home? Teenagers? The scariest thing is that they go to school every day and there's these expert peers who know everything. And if you're not having a conversation with them where you're asking questions and getting them to talk, they're having that conversation and filling that need for conversation with those expert peers who have a lot of really good information to share. Have that conversation with them, because I guarantee you one day you'll wake up when they're 22 or 25 or 30 and you're going to find out that they were listening. And it will be a beautiful thing. Even at the time, you thought, these kids are not listening to me. So it is an encouraging thing, but do that. And researchers suggest that just 10 minutes of meaningful conversation with your spouse every day can turn an average marriage into a great marriage. Is that worth it? 10 minutes. Now, doesn't that sound really easy? But how hard is that in real life to actually accomplish? I have a really hard time with that. I mean, my husband travels, I travel, and we're going different directions, and, you know, we're taking care of this, and our schedules are sometimes, you know, all out of whack. It's really difficult to do, but man, isn't it worth the investment? There's somebody in our life who wants to get to know us better. Now, there's some more questions that I gave you. There's a tan card there with some other questions. 5 questions that will help you connect with people when you sit down and have that 10-minute conversation. And in most cases, you'll find that you'll get to 1 or 2. But if you're able to get into a situation where you're talking with somebody that you serve, you might have that opportunity to say, hey, I said 10 minutes, and you stay within that because you want to be a good steward of their time. But they may be having such a great time that they decide that they're going to go ahead and talk to you longer. So there's, you know, block some extra time on your part, but if they just have 10 minutes, be an absolute good steward of their time. The first question is, how well am I serving your needs now? You know, if I ask one of my family members that, I might be met with speechlessness, as would you, right? They would not know what to do. But the nice thing is that you ask that question, and if they are speechless, they might come back later and know the door is open. There's a lot of things that we don't ever talk about with the people that we live with because it's not the right time. Oh, they're in a bad mood, or it's just not a good day for me, or I don't have time to really get into this, or I just don't want to deal with the issues that are going to come out of having this conversation. When you put yourself in that position of being able to initiate that conversation, it somehow feels a little less threatening to you. So you're able at least to be on one side of that conversation and be more open, even if maybe they aren't. Because again, you're on a fact-finding mission. You're asking questions. You're leading that conversation to get them talking. Is there something that I'm not doing now that would help you? If my husband came to me and said, you know, I just don't have time to mow the yard, I would go, oh yeah, I wouldn't mind doing that. Now, the next question is, how often do you have that need? I might follow that up and go, okay, how often do you need to not mow that yard? If he's thinking that he doesn't ever want to mow again, I'm reluctant to pick that up. We're going to outsource that. But this gives you an idea of how useful this is in your personal life. Perhaps you support a team of people, and there might be somebody, you know, you sit down and have a conversation with each member of the team, and you ask these questions, you know, do you have a need that I could help you with? They may not know that you have a particular skill set that they didn't know anything about that you would love to do that. Maybe you've got a peer who says, you know, I've got this thing, I just am terrible at doing this one thing. Well, they don't know that it's like the coolest thing ever to you and that you want to help them with it and you'd be glad to do that. Or maybe you could swap some responsibilities and you'd be doing something that you were meant to do and they would be in less pain and be grateful and be glad to help you with something else, because we're all gifted differently, aren't we? We all have things that are different, and every time somebody on your team swaps out, it's time to go back and assess what you're gifted at. Maybe it's time to rotate some responsibilities around again. Some of us work in tiny offices and there's no choice. But some of us work on big, big teams and we have a chance to maybe move some responsibilities around. The next question, what would you say my strengths are? This could be one of the most powerful questions that you ever get a chance to listen to the answer to. It truly reveals your competitive advantage. You've built this resume or this LinkedIn profile and it's got all these things on it, and I bet it's not what it is that people know you for. There is a reason that your boss hired you and that you're still working there, and I bet you don't know what it is. There's a reason. There are reasons out there that they just don't have the opportunity to tell you, and you don't know what they are. There's a reason that your spouse still says, I do, and I bet you don't know what it is. Have those conversations and find out, because you might find yourself in a position where you need to promote yourself, market yourself, and if you knew why people hired you and thought you were awesome, I mean, you just can't imagine all the skills that you have that you're just totally writing off as, oh, anybody can do that. Other people know what your competitive advantage is. Ask them, what are my strengths? And then the final question, are there some changes in the company or future needs coming that I can help you with? Everybody's dealing with what's urgent now, are they not? There are some things that are on their plate they need help with, but they just haven't had time to deal with because they've got to get started, but they've got this other thing that's almost finished. When you ask that question, it kind of opens the door to say, to ask them, how can I help you? Is there something I can help you with? Perhaps there is a change coming down the company that's not yet been announced to the rest of the team, and you catch them off guard and they accidentally share that with you. Would that be helpful information? At least, if nothing else, to mentally prepare yourself. Absolutely. So we want to be able to open that door. And you can position yourself as somebody who wants to be a partner, who wants to really help them. And when you ask these questions, you can usually build on these questions, but it's a chance to get them to get started. And you can ask things like, well, tell me more about that. Could I get some clarification? Or, wow, I didn't know that. Now, in this process, you're going to get some feedback. Don't we love it when people tell us they're going to give us some feedback? Makes the hair stand up on our neck, right? I lovingly call it the other F word. Because we feel the same way about it. And you know, we feel the same way about good feedback as we do bad feedback. When somebody says it's feedback, it's just, it can't be anything I really know what to do with, right? As hard as it is to take feedback, it's easier when you ask for it first because you feel less on the defense and you're also opening the door for them to give it. And as hard as it is for us to hear it, it is so much harder for somebody to give it. It's absolutely crucial that we create a safe place for them to give that feedback and to know that we're listening and we're asking for clarification and that we tell them what we're going to do with it. I'm going to think about that. You know, praise them for taking the brave step and giving you that feedback, no matter how hard it was to hear, and even if it made you cry. Praise them for doing that, because if you screw it up, you will never get another piece of feedback. Here's why feedback is just so, so important. Feedback makes us better. It teaches us how to be humble a little bit, doesn't it? But it teaches us how we can improve. It was a June day And it was the fifth anniversary of the Cancer Road Challenge motorcycle and poker run. I'd worked on the event for 5 years as the really lead coordinator. And I was retiring that year. We had done everything. We were set up for 500 bikes. We had been ready. I mean, and we were a team that had been together for most of the six years that we built the event together. There wasn't anything that we couldn't handle, we thought. And with a poker run, the participants show up and they pay $25 and they ride a route and pick up 5 cards. And each of those cards has a secret score. Well, they come back, they score those, and then they have prize money. Best hand, next best hand, and worst hand. Well, on this particular day, everyone, as planned, registration starts at 7. The first bikers show up at 6:30 looking for coffee and breakfast. And they talk and enjoy things, get registered. And then at 7:30, it's first bike out. Well, at 7:35, the unthinkable happens. The sky opens up and pours. We were so disappointed, but we were scurrying around trying to get everything up underneath the eaves at the community college. And so people were still showing up in their rain gear, ready to ride the route, and we got them registered, they were eating, and some of them went ahead and headed out at 7:30 for first bike out. Well, our window of riding out is 3 hours. Well, it got to be nearly 10:30. And there were some people who really didn't feel compelled to ride in the rain for a number of reasons. Not everybody, you know, it feels comfortable or safe riding in the rain. Some of these people are veteran riders, and they've ridden to Daytona in the rain, and it's really no big deal to them. Those kind of people had already gone out. Many, many people were still standing around. Well, one of the things that we delivered as part of the value for the event, because it wasn't just a charity fundraiser, it really was a business for our, you know, that raised money for charities. We really felt like we needed to deliver that value. So I talked to committee members, and I talked to people who had participated with us for several years, and I asked them, what do you want to do? Well, we finally made a decision. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here today. Well, we've made a decision about what to do about this rain and the route and all of that. And we've decided that we're going to allow you to go ahead and draw your cards here. So we've got a bag waiting with cards. You can come up, line up and draw and continue to enjoy the event. Go ahead and go over here and get scored. And then just enjoy the rest of the day. Lunchtime will be pretty soon. So anyway, yay, the crowd goes wild. I am a hero. And everybody was happy and all was well with the world. So, I hear the familiar rumble about 20 minutes later of motorcycle engines in rain gear. I can see them on the horizon in their bright rain gear riding back into the community college. They're coming back in, getting off their motorcycles, standing in line to get their poker run sheets all scored, ready to go. Talking about all the rides that they've been on in rain, and, well, you know, I rode 500 miles and it never quit raining for, you know, 8 days. And I mean, all those war stories, they're worse than fishing stories. Bikers love to talk about their rides, though. Well, the end of all was well of the world was coming for me. As I noticed over out of the corner of my eye was a gentleman having a very animated conversation with the guy running, scoring the poker run sheets. My friend Tina comes over to me and she says, Carrie, this guy's really mad over here. I think you're gonna have to deal with it. Thanks, Tina. Thanks for giving me a heads up. Great. Cool. That's what they pay me the big bucks for with this volunteer charity thing, right? It's my fifth year. Do you think it could have not rained on this day? Okay, done. Let's do this. Hi, My name's Carrie. I understand you're really upset about this riding in the rain. I why don't you tell me about it? Well, you're right. My name is Mike. And I don't understand why we had to do that. You know, that's not the way poker runs work. Poker runs are for people who go out and ride the route, not these weenies who stayed here under the eaves and stayed dry. It's not fair. It is not fair that we had to ride and risk our life and get all wet, and those people got to stay here and sit on their butts. It's just not okay. Well, I let Mike vent, and I let him come down. I didn't say anything. I nodded my head. I listened because I cared. But I needed him to come down because I can't have a conversation with him while he's up here. Am I right? So after Mike had a chance to come down a little bit and feel really feel much better, I said, Mike, I hear you. I am so sorry. There is nobody who is more disappointed than our committee. I mean, there's a dozen of us, and we work hundreds of hours on this. Mike, what would you have done if you were me? Well, I don't know what I would have done. I don't know, but I would have done what you did, because that was wrong, because people are supposed to go out on the route. It's not fair. Well, Mike, I tell you, I wish it could have been different. Maybe we didn't make the right decision. But, you know, we're about to serve lunch. Why don't you go ahead and grab some lunch? You and your wife sit down. Enjoy the time with the rest of the people. Because we're still going to draw for prize money and everything. I'd love for you to stay. The band's about to start. Well, I watched Mike and his wife and their rain gear get back on their motorcycle and ride off campus. And I thought I was never, ever going to see them again. But about 45 minutes later, they came back. I watched them ride onto the campus. And by that time, the sun had come out. It had quit raining. They were dry in clean clothes. And I watched them go get their lunch and go sit down and talk with the other bikers. And they were having a great time laughing and smiling. So later, Mike came up to me again. Mike, how you doing? Glad you came back. Well, I want you to know I've got some ideas for you about how I would have done this differently. Awesome. So, Mike, tell me about your ideas. Well, I took his notes. I mean, I wrote them down, and we talked, and we had a good conversation. And truthfully, I told him what I was going to do with them. We were going to talk about them on the committee, and we were going to use some of them as part of our procedures, because I felt like it was things that we could do. It was ideas that we didn't come up with that morning. I had taken somebody who could have been potentially a person, who could have been an adversary, who could have told all his biker friends, and they've got this huge network out there, not to come to our event ever again. It would have killed us. But instead, I felt like I turned him into an ally, a guy that would come back next year who knew that we tried as hard as we could, because I was willing to be brave enough to stand toe-to-toe with a guy that stood 12 inches taller than me, 100 pounds more to me, when he wasn't dripping wet. I got a new friend, and I also got information that I wouldn't have gotten to improve the event otherwise. Now, was that worth it? Yes. Was it painful? Oh, yeah. I would rather be poked in the eye with a stick than repeat that experience. But every time God hands me one of those, I go, that's new material. Because as a speaker, it's about telling stories. Each one of us can tell our experience through our stories as well. When we learn something, we have a chance to mentor other people, to bring people along behind us. Even people that you may think, oh, how many of you ever say, oh, I'm just an assistant? Anybody ever say that? You sort of write it off, I don't have a voice. Do you know that if you reach out to somebody and you have useful feedback for them, something that you really feel compelled to help them with, it doesn't matter if they're a new executive. You might be able to help them understand something that only you know. Always understand that you have incredible amounts of value to add to someone else, and they don't know about it if you don't have a conversation with them. Am I right? So not all conflict situations are that great and go that smooth, right? I want to give you a template for resolving conflict. You got another handout. And what it is, it's a series of steps that you can take when you need to sit down and have a meaningful conversation that is engulfed in conflict. And sometimes we sit down and have conversation with people and we don't know that there's going to be conflict. It's a surprise. And instead of looking like a deer in the headlights, isn't it easier when you have a set of questions that you know what to do with, right? So that's what this is for. Now, you have a couple of scenarios that I've given you on the flip side of that that you can take with you and remember, but I want to cover one of those scenarios. Let's talk about the one that involves, say, somebody was promoted that really wanted, somebody was overlooked for a promotion, they feel like, right? And that it was your decision to do that. Well, the first step you want to take is to acknowledge their concern or state your concern. In this case, I realize that you wanted that promotion. So that they understand that you were very clear that was something that they wanted. And then you want to follow that with an empathetic statement. I know you're disappointed. And then the next step is to state an interest in resolution or the reason for the way it is. We chose the other candidate because he had more replenishment experience. Now, you might start getting some feedback at that point. They might start asking some questions, and that's okay if they do that. Then you can eventually get to the next step, and that is ask, how can I help? Because you want to show that you're a partner in resolving this conflict. It's not just their problem and they need to get happy in the same pants that they got sad in. You want to be there to help them understand, to help them go through this. I'd like to help you get ready for that next available promotion. What would you suggest that we do? That way, by asking that question that way, you're putting that responsibility for coming up with the solution back in their lap. They can't sit there and be a victim because you've now given them something to do. I want to help you, but you need to help me understand how to help you. This way, they start to own that. Now, they may not have a solution right now. They may just want to talk, and some people just want to be heard, and that's good enough, and they'll be happy campers from here on out. And then other people need a little bit more help. It kind of depends who you're working with. You have relationships with people enough to be able to have those conversations and know a little bit how to prepare for that conversation. If there is an issue where you need to, where there's an apology that might be appropriate, even if it maybe didn't seem like your fault, I'm sorry, I had no idea that this was going to affect you this way. I'm sorry, I had no idea that you felt this way. It doesn't say it's your fault or that there's anybody at fault. You just, but being willing to step in and give that apology for some people makes a huge difference. Again, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't that you have to apologize for something that isn't your fault. But being willing to use those kind of words opens the door to resolution. And that's the whole idea. And being able to move that conflict forward. Because so many people today will sit there and have conversations and they make some assumptions, they don't get any clarification, or worse, they heard something that somebody else says that they heard somebody say, and they take that as the gospel truth. What you need to do is be willing to step into that and ask those questions. Hey, help me understand. Help me understand why you feel this way. Help me understand why you reacted this way. I wasn't expecting that. You're just asking questions to get them talking. You don't have to go, hey, I feel like you're doing this. No, just say, help me understand. Does that make sense? Definitely something doable. So tell me about what questions you have. Any? Ever deal with any of this stuff in your office? I deal with, I work alone for the most part, just me and four black dogs at home. But I have clients. I have to sit down with clients, and we have those conversations and ask, you know, tell me about this. How's this going for you? It's really hard to ask those questions because sometimes I don't really want the feedback that bad because I think, oh, man, I made a blunder. I didn't do this right. And you know what? Maybe it happened, and they didn't even notice I did it. So if I don't open that door and ask those questions, I don't ever get that feedback, right? So I really do want to initiate it. Tell me about what you learned this session that you can use. Diane?
Conflict resolution.
Conflict resolution.
People that, you know, see a conflict, I like the words that you put in there so that we can say that.
Exactly, exactly. And if you've got a template, and the nice thing about it is if you use it often enough, it does. It becomes part of you. It makes it a lot easier to ask that question. Mm-hmm. I always say the little conflicts are preparing you for the big ones. You're going to have them, you know. Why not just get ready? What else? What else can you use?
You said the little conflict. I've always avoided confrontation. You know?
So many of us do.
And I can think that you're stirring up a successful conversation like that where I was put on the spot and like, I'm sorry, I didn't understand, realize.
Yeah.
And now I'm thinking, how can I apply this to my children?
There you go. Absolutely, probably the most important conversation that we have. Isn't it the most one of the most important roles that we have is as a parent?
I'm visualizing that conversation. It wasn't comfortable, and yet it resolved.
There you go. And somebody had to just get really brave and stand toe-to-toe and face-to-face and deal with it. It is such an act of bravery to step into that situation that you know is going to be unpleasant. What else? What else can you use?
Not a devoted 10 minutes.
Yeah.
He's watching TV, we're both on the computer, I'm Facebooking or whatever, and then we've got the cell phone ringing. So it's not a total devoted, dedicated 10-minute conversation.
Exactly.
There's all these obstacles going on around us. So I'm going to work on that. You know, just really, really an in-depth conversation to find out
exactly.
And be in tune to each other.
Exactly.
And I appreciate that.
Excellent. Well, thank you for that feedback. Hey, did I remember? Oh, I forgot. I was supposed to hand around a sheet that if you'd like to sign up for my e-zine, I send, is it around? You go, girl. You rock. Okay. Somebody grab that. Would you number that real quick? Did everybody get their name on it at least? Okay. Well, we'll have to give this away a different way, but... Will you write fast? Okay, well, let me tell you a couple of things. At this point, I'm going to give away a copy of my book, Currency Striking Networking Gold in a Relationship Economy, and an hour of coaching. I work with my clients on communication and teamwork and creating buy-in and interpersonal relationships. That's where I really work my magic with the people that I work with. So I'm going to give away an hour to use however you want. And if for those of you who are here for the rest of the weekend, I'll do it live because I'm on site a couple of different times. So I'll be glad to meet with you. And we do it here or else we can just do it over the phone, right? That would be okay. All righty. I mean, obviously you can see that I am totally passionate about this topic. I just believe that this might be some of the most important stuff that we do in our life is having that conversation. If we sit over there and be wallflowers and don't talk to people, I mean, how do we know that there's not somebody that's crossing our path that we might have needed to meet?
Are there 20 in here?
I don't know. Are there 20? Hopefully everybody's...
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So I've been an assistant most of my life.
Uh-huh. Are you still in?
Second guessing myself, and I'm like,
okay.
Because I'm not, I don't feel like I'm a leader.
You're not trusting yourself. Are you managing people?
No, but I have greater responsibilities.
Okay. So you might be managing projects, and that happens a lot. And projects are a little easier to manage than people sometimes.
I close up if my manager comes to me and asks, because I've never had to do it.
Right, right.
So how's this project?
Let me tell you a really easy way to get, okay, would you number those? Oh, you did. Okay, good. Okay. All right. Awesome deal. Okay. I tell you a good way to get started with this. Because it's sometimes hard to get experience managing people inside your current job. It's like they want you to have experience, but then how are you going to get experience if they won't give you that chance? Do something with a volunteer activity. I have learned more about leading people who didn't have who didn't get paid to be there than I ever did working in the corporate environment. I never had the opportunity in the corporate environment, and I wasn't, frankly, ready. But by going out and volunteering with an organization, it gave me a sincere chance to go out and learn to lead people. And I would handpick the committees, so it was people that I knew who supported, who wanted me to be successful. Anybody in Willie Johnson's last session? People want us to be successful. That would give you a chance to sort of get your legs underneath you. Does that make sense? Seem like something you could do? Go pick a charity that you are passionate about. So, all righty, Mary. Okay.
You've been given a project, and you have 10 people on the team to work with. And 4 people are really excited, want to work. And 3 people are being willing to lead to do it.
Uh-huh.
And then you have 2 or 3 people who just say, I'm just here because I was assigned to be here.
Right.
And I really
victims.
Don't.
Okay. Her question is, how do we create buy-in with people who really aren't that excited about buying in? Get those people in conversation. Ask them what they would like to do. What do you see? Tell me about what you think about this. Really reach out to them and ask them their opinions. And then find ways to get them to use their opinions and to get them feeling like they're a part of it. Like, oh gosh, we made that change because I took a chance and told them. And then you're able to go, can you help me with this? And sometimes when you just ask people for help, people won't volunteer for stuff. You have to, like, follow them to a parking lot and, you know, make them stand against the car. I mean, you really have to ask people, pick people based on their skill set. A lot of times I'll if I get into a situation like that, and even when I'm not, I will ask somebody about their skill. You know, tell me about what you really like to do and then find a way to plug them in. So, okay. I am getting into Kim's setup time because Kim, or Maxie Carpenter, is in this session next, so I don't want to get into his time at all. I'm convinced that the skills we talked about today are probably the most important soft skills that we need on our path to success. Lead meaningful conversations. Strategically develop your network. To embrace feedback as the answer instead of the enemy, and then to resolve conflict so that projects and relationships can move forward. I mean, what about you? I mean, are you ready to get what you want, need, and deserve? Of course you are. I want that for every single one of you so that the next time that you have the opportunity, you're ready to reach out and grab that opportunity. I want that for you. Ladies and gentlemen, it has been my honor to be with you today. Thank you for being such a great audience. Oh. And I'm going to pick, somebody pick a number. Mary, pick a number between 1 and 23.
7.
Jamie Millsap. All right, Jamie, I'll autograph this for you. And are you here for the weekend? You are. Okay. You just decide when you want to chat, okay? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you.